There is network and sharing center. There we go. And I'm going to go in here.
He's not good.
I'm going to set.
So if we ever get here before him, we better not sit there.
Somebody might run.
Yeah, I don't have a new account. I ask him.
I'm going to put a little marker down there, Chester's spot.
I have a question.
What was for you? Changing your name to Bill.
Jim.
Oh, I barely answered Jim. Don't change it to Bill.
I don't know. I didn't hear the first part of what I was talking about. So
my wife goes in tomorrow.
Well, but for you as a spouse, do you have to have your permanente 2 years or 5 years? Or do you know?
Oh, to become a citizen?
Married to a Mexican.
Oh, I have no idea.
Because a year ago, you only needed it 2 years.
No, I've lived in.
Yeah, I have no
idea. If you're not married to a Mexican, you need it.
Yeah, well, we had our... We've had them for 5 years. We qualify
now. So you're okay
now,
either way.
Still running. No, the reason I can't pass is I have a hearing loss.
You wear hearing aids?
No. They didn't wouldn't work.
They don't help.
Because of what I had. They said maybe the newest digital right now might work.
Does Telmex offer that, sir? I forget what it's called, the service for hearing impaired where you can read what's being said on your phone.
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I hear good enough for that. But not, yeah, huh?
So I wonder what would happen if you got a phone call from Mexico City and you said, well, what do they have? Lot of Musk response. Please speak more slowly, porque no puedo oír. Can't hear you. I wonder if they would say, tough, you ain't going to become a citizen.
Well, over the phone call, they're probably speaking slow anyway. But it's real hard for me to understand the language because I don't hear all the syllables anymore.
And he doesn't get the subtleties.
So my neighbor, he goes, well, we're going to teach him. Well, he has to repeat the word 20 times and slow before I understand what it was. Like growing up, have gun will travel.
Yeah.
Paladin.
Yeah.
I always thought it was half gun will travel. And I, for years...
Nobody said you were bright.
So you were born with... You were born with
I don't hear the pronunciation. Because the bone... Something about the bone don't vibrate the way they're supposed to. Supposedly from tonsil infection. I used to get really bad earache. And... Parents didn't have the money at the time, and when they finally got the money, it was already blew in my hair.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
Could have been.
My dad did that.
Well, I've got a couple of topics, but I'm open to anything.
I want to talk about phone RAM.
Phone RAM, okay.
Whoa, oh, smart mouth thing and left.
Yeah.
You know, I had two boys and a girl, and I remember in their teens, my husband, who was a very easygoing, short man, standing in the kitchen with this huge oldest kid, whopped, and then we all started to laugh. It was just so damn funny. Here's this little man trying to, oh my, this 6 foot athletic,
oh, type.
Never mind. It was funny.
Yeah,
I was 16 and mouthing off or something.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
I was like my kids one time, and they say, if you do, I'm calling CPS.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You just go in your bed and pack your suitcases. Says, why? Because you're going out, they're not coming in.
They used to call me Mama Dearest. Remember the book?
Mommy Dearest.
Try it again, Jim.
Yeah, I had used to come to the house for our kids. The kid fell off his bicycle. Got the handlebar. And got the handlebar side.
Ouch.
Around suction cup thing. Yes, I'm sitting out in front having probably a beer because I just got home from work. And the cops still want to talk to you about the kid, this and that. You know, for child abuse.
Somebody reported it.
The school teacher. And they're all, well, what happened to him? I said, what do you mean what happened to him? I don't know. I just got him. And they go, well, he's got this mark on his side. Bicycle and landed on the handlebar. And the guy looks at me and goes, well, that's what the kid said. Well, I don't know what to tell you.
But you know, we never ever hit anybody.
Well, there was a school.
We never spanked.
He was showing it.
But this kid was. Oh my God.
He was showing his wound at school.
Sure,
you know,
he
was. You know?
Yeah. Look, I have it on me.
So the school teacher saw it. His teacher reported me. This was
your child.
I'm glad I'm out of the school system today.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that strikes
up. Kids in the parents ran the school when I was from 2000. It's got to be worse now.
Fall off the bicycle?
No, I mean, the way we raised ours was when you're in the teacher's room, the teacher is the law. You disobey the law, you're in trouble. That was it.
There and when you get home.
Yeah.
And you get spanked and you can go back outside. If you get go to your room, you're spank me. Yeah.
But now it's I'll take your phone away.
And your TV and your tablet and your smartwatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have my choice. Spank me.
I'll go back out back. Yeah. Yep.
13? You don't have to worry about it now because the kids don't go outside.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, they go outside like this.
Yeah. You know, we...
I can't
trust
them,
but my grandkids are terrific.
My mind.
You know, I don't know why we do that. Just because their ways are different.
Did I come that
early? Oh, yeah.
I
sat and listened to a lady just dump all over this up-and-coming generation.
Oh, yeah.
Here's these kids out there demonstrating, they're marching.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing volunteer work.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, not so bad. Yeah. They're not the same as we were, but they're not so bad.
No. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, time goes on.
From the guy that was here?
Yeah.
Yeah, how'd it go?
Well, they had to come back out today because every time I turned on or off the alarm, it would shut off my timer.
The locus?
Just a... which is fine for the alarm in the house, but I have the alarm outside.
Is that from the new place?
Out in the boonies, you've been out there.
Oh, it's the one that I have. Oxo. I mean, by
my
best.
Really?
Yes.
2 second siren.
You're wonderful. In fact, I get one every time I go up north because it lasts me way beyond my home.
Came home last night. Going out to dinner.
They're really
turned
good.
Off the alarm.
Somebody's coming in the door. Just knew your time was coming.
A lot of them.
And I don't like to be a sacrifice.
So they came out today, reset it so it doesn't do that anymore.
I had one
nice.
Who built a snowman in the principal's
which doors
office.
Are open? Oh.
That's fabulous.
Get that phone call.
Yes.
Oh, my middle one.
Oh, that's a great one.
But he'll tell you. Well,
he did what? I'll be right
if
there.
Doors open, he'll tell you which ones are. What doors? Open.
Yeah.
So did you ball him out and then high five him outside?
Hell no.
That's funny.
I high five my husband. And, you know, at least the kid's original.
Yeah. That's a good one.
But, you know, you sweat certain kids all the way through. I thought, this is going
to
be the one who's going to end up behind the bar.
There's just emotion. Even if your alarm's not on.
He's got a master's degree. He owns a wine and cheese shop. He's the biggest yuppie you ever.
This is not working.
It still isn't
working.
I know. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Oh, well.
If I was away, didn't live here, then the camera would be in.
We're going to have a meeting today?
Yeah, I mean, we can get started. I'm just disappointed that I can't get this thing to work. I am not connected to the internet.
If he can't get it to work.
International computer.
Why are we here? Breakfast is good.
It's all international computer.
Right. Well, that's the thing is, instead of having a meeting, I'm solving network problems. I can only do one or the other. I come in assuming that things are going to work, and
well, who set up
and
the network,
not.
Scott?
Well, you should know. Things are not the same one week from the next.
No.
It's very strange, and I'm wondering if it's my computer that's having the problem, but it was working just fine this morning. Mm-hmm. Everything on it was working just fine. And right now it looks like I'm having problems doing. Yeah, I don't.
Saturn.
Good.
Thank you.
Really?
No, yeah. I was out there
to
find Saturn.
Have you tried rebooting?
And it wasn't.
Yeah, twice.
Huh? Yes, he did. I watched him reboot.
All right,
reboot.
One more teaser.
You watched what?
Yeah,
I watched him reboot. I know he rebooted.
He also reset the whole system.
Yeah, twice. Yeah, it's very frustrating.
Well, can I say something about closing windows?
Yeah,
that
go
you
right
said
ahead.
It doesn't really matter anymore if you close it down. It doesn't slow your system down. In fact, it may be the other way. But my thinking is what happens if I lose my device and all those windows are open and somehow people can just go in there and see
those
everything
windows.
That I was done?
If they're
wait.
Smart enough, they probably can see it anyway.
Well, no, but this is just like if I lost it.
Yeah. Like if you left quick
question.
And open.
Yeah. Left quick and open, left my bank program.
Yeah, that's probably a good reason to close it is
even
is
though my
security.
Bank closes it anyway, but, yeah.
Your bank closes it anyway. I mean, I would imagine
inactive.
There's...
But
yeah. Any given app's got stuff like that going
Quicken
on with
does
it.
Quicken does not. Quicken will run forever.
Yeah. Well, as soon as my screen turns dark to start it up again, I have to enter a password.
For Quicken? See,
for Windows.
Oh, Windows. Yeah. Oh,
that's what mine does, too.
Yeah.
Hibernates or something.
That's pretty.
And you can set that timer, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the other one. What are the two women's name that work at Mariposa? Kaylee and...
I don't know. I don't use them anymore. The first time I had to wait to pick up packages in the mail there, I went there because I had already switched with Magda when she opened, and I went to pick up mail for somebody else at Mariposa. And it was like, really?
So do you go and pick up your own mail then?
No, I pick up. I only go out. I only come in once, and so I pick up mail, anything that I can carry. I
but
open
what
packages.
What about the other 6 months?
Somebody else makes the trips up.
The question is: is this something I need to declare? Coming in?
Okay. I don't think so. You can take them out of the box. There's two packages. One's probably sunglasses and the other one's a little Roku-like device. You can take them out and throw them in your purse if you want to.
Have
yeah.
you ever had
what'd
where
you buy?
Games that are no good? Like in the middle
another
of the game?
Device to
I've
hook up to her.
I've got two games with Fanny. And
whatever
she wants.
That's
she
something that after all, we can go up every 2 months and drink it.
I'm
not going to say keep Vader.
I'm wondering.
Just because it was... I was so determined to do it.
Been and
every time she comes to
it's
breakfast,
what?
I go, I'll fix
flawless.
It.
Yeah,
she
it's been wonderful.
Wonderful. Fix it.
Vader, you know that
and I keep getting you.
$15
I keep getting. Oops, something went wrong, and when you go okay, it comes back out. It doesn't let you erase the game. So now we've got two games, and both we were way in the middle of the game.
Huh. Was this Words with Friends?
Yeah.
I had that problem with one, and I'd usually do it on my phone, but I got on my computer, and I tried to delete it, and I couldn't. And
I know. You
it eventually went
it.
Away.
So
yeah,
I sent
if you
him
haven't
an
played
email,
for several days.
I sent him an email to get a delete them. I mean, this was one was 9 days ago, and one was 3 days ago. Yeah.
But they'll eventually drop off, like you said.
Yeah, hopefully
it's like if you start a game with somebody that you don't know by mistake and you don't want to play it, it'll eventually go away.
Well, this guy started a game with me. He's got to be using the dictionary, first of all.
You can tell if he's not that smart in the words he uses.
Questions, if I'm married,
blah,
blah, blah. He hasn't played now for 2 days, and when I get my game back, I'm out of it.
Yeah.
Yep. He started asking me questions.
I play with one but person you can, that you know that
because he claims
a
he was from Czechoslovakia but lives in South Carolina now.
Oh.
And his name is Stephen Meyer.
Oh, Meyer?
Yeah, right.
I tried to find him on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. No,
was it that now? Every Stephen Meyer that was on Facebook is not this person.
You can stop a game.
Not if it's not your turn.
Yeah, it has to be your turn.
How
you can
that
resign.
End up like that?
Yeah, I'm going to resign when it's my turn.
I got to pay more attention to what Rich is doing.
But he's using huge words. And I'm going, only the computer guys use, when you play the computer, they use big words.
Right.
But most people don't use words I've never even heard of.
So there's a lot of satisfaction cheating in an online game.
Cheating your words with friend, friend,
yeah,
by using a dictionary.
I don't think that's fair.
That's something, you know, that's something to keep you smiling all day. Cheating my friend.
You could stand the online poker game. Yeah. Three of us playing on the
thing. Uses a dictionary.
Different usernames.
Any of the packages are too big, or you don't want to bring them?
Yeah, okay. No,
okay.
Yeah,
that's
not
kind
a problem.
Of our rule. But if the package is huge and what inside it is heavy, you don't have to bring it.
No, as long as I don't have to declare it.
Hey, Gary?
No,
just trying to solve some network problem.
Maybe a shower, okay. That might be a bigger box.
I think I may have just identified the issue.
Judy, is Magna in Nogales?
And if you don't want to,
yes,
that's fine.
One
time
we
went in there,
you know,
there were some packages and we were in our trucks. Take them off.
Sure. But you have to have somebody go up.
Huge box.
Oh,
well, they all, yeah, I mean, that's how they work. Yeah. Well, our realtor has PostNet, right? And somebody
so I opened it, it was a dog bed.
Oh,
so I saved all
I thought about
the information,
yeah.
Threw the box away, and put my bed in the car like
yeah.
I had a dog.
I sure. hear that the mail's sure. going to go with Beth.
But we've also left stuff behind because it was too big,
too
much heavier.
Yeah.
We didn't want to be hassled. Yeah. So right
are you going to be here a week from today?
I should be. And also, I'm going up Sunday the 29th, so if you're not comfortable getting up.
I take it seriously.
Well, I think I'll bring my friend Roz, my 40-year-old. You know, I've known her for over 4 years. I'll bring her to breakfast. It's a good breakfast, and she might get something out of it.
So. Snow for the cows.
Probably redhead.
Co-wrote.
Show me, but
oh,
it's
like co-wrote. But that should have a
hyphen.
But
to stay?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought.
Oh,
I
know.
I didn't either.
This is all I have to remember that.
I know, but
very temperate.
I betcha.
Mm-hmm.
Dictionary.
Oh, I'm just fighting with it, but
June is so damn.
I'm gonna give up, and I think I have given up. I'm just disappointed. Things are not working the way they're supposed to.
And now the cameras are nervous. We all moved.
Well, I mean, we're still recording, so.
That's still not.
So that is happening.
So you'll post it later.
Yeah.
If we get summer, maybe July 15th.
I told Richard I didn't like that camera there.
Come on, summer. If you were
fun. Showing off my bald spot.
Oh, yeah. But July 15th usually is.
Now, are you from there?
No.
Oh, I'm from Omaha.
Oh, talk about sticky.
And see, in Colorado Springs, we'll get up to like 95 for about a week. And I have no air conditioning.
Oh, that's hot.
It's awful.
You have a basement?
I do. And I turn the furnace fan on so it blows that air out of the basement.
Things are sort of working. I think they're...
I remember growing up like that. Oh, you lay in bed.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Hey, we're only 20 minutes late starting. I'm really sorry. We're fighting with this thing. I don't know why I'm fighting with this thing. But I'm streaming audio. The video's not going to YouTube. Sometimes it's bringing stuff up. What I found is that their main router somehow has reverted back to its original settings. I don't know why it would be affecting this connection out here. See, it's just disconnected again. But I think it's all related.
Post?
No.
You're normally not behind the post, are you?
No, it's the because we should be connected to this, and it should be connected to the router in the office. I think there's something going screwy with the router in the office. I think that it's on and off, on and off, on and off. I'm watching it go on and off, on and off, on and off. And so I think that some of these devices masquerade the problem or mask the problem because it appears to be working at times. I don't know if any of you in the back are having any luck being connected or doing things.
What's the password?
Tequilas.
Tequila?
Tequilas. All lowercase, no punctuation. It just keeps, it comes up and down, up and down, up and down.
Can you connect to the other one?
That's the thing. The other one has, what I found is the other one has reverted back to its default settings. So if you could see it, you might be able to connect to it, but you'd need the original password for
it
to get
into it.
It's
on the bottom of
the modem over there.
No, it's on the bottom of the napkin holder in the other room.
So,
but you used it the other day.
Really? So you knew that we were having network problems.
No. My wife had a new phone, and we had to put the number in so she could get online.
Right, but they should both be configured for tequilas, and the password should be tequilas. They aren't anymore. It would have been nice to know that before showing up today.
It must be this one.
It'd be faster just to go to read.
Judy, is there more in there? Maybe.
Yeah. Redo it, wouldn't it, Scott?
What's that?
Wouldn't it be faster just to go up and change
the
password?
Yeah, but in here it's not getting
online. Yeah, the problem is that it's patchy coverage in here. That's the reason we have an access point in here.
Is it on that one?
No, we're not. We're living right.
Yeah, there it is.
No, you can't read it.
Great. Well, are you connected to Tequila's bar?
Yeah,
that's great. I am connected, but I'm also trying to stream audio through it and video through it, and I think it's overwhelming the connection. And so it's connected, then it's not connected. It's connected, it's not connected. I suspect it would work fine for web pages. See, I'm just watching my thing go on and off, on and off, on and off.
I'm connected to the bar.
Right, we're all connected to the bar. I'm trying to explain the problem. There's no problem being connected. There's a problem using internet. And depending on the way you're using internet, you may not be observing the problem.
That was clear. Ooh,
thank you.
And I'll ask again.
You handle stress very well.
I'll check one more time. Anybody not connected?
Yeah, no, don't worry about it.
I put my phone away.
I knew exactly what she was talking about.
The video, all the markers she said aren't right. There. This must be
yeah, cold. Maybe. Except the video's not connecting in the first place, so it just doesn't matter.
To show us
I'll find it.
Well, it's not at 1200 North.
This is the password. I'm connected now to the other one.
That is
right.
Where it is.
The problem with the other one is the range makes it patchy in here.
West Mariposa Road, by the way, as far as the address goes.
So should we... Oh, I wonder if I can bring up my topic.
Try that. I mean, well, the address is north, but when you look it up, it always says west.
Don't you love the mapping stuff?
Put in west.
All these cars parked in here? What's all that?
That's not...
That's all her friends.
Yeah. Judy's having a wild party.
I know what you were saying. No,
she knows. She says she knows.
It's easy.
Huh. Okay, guys.
Did you just type in Mariposa?
This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson, fighting with our connections. I did bring some topics, but were there some things that people wanted to bring up specifically?
Right.
Linda?
Yep, this one's right. It is west.
Okay. Right here. On your cell phone.
Yes?
Okay, I went in and let me find this now so I can tell you right.
Okay.
Okay, I went into the Smart Manager. Okay. So it says RAM, 75% used, and then it says 430 megabytes free. Now, I went in and I took a bunch of stuff out.
You physically removed it?
you know, physically remove some things that I thought I didn't need.
Okay.
Then...
I think that would only affect your RAM if they were things that were running in RAM.
Okay. So how do you... Can you replace RAM on your phone is my question.
Not typically.
So when the RAM's out, your phone's done.
Well, the RAM is random access memory, so it fills and unloads as you're running applications in the phone, or essentially a computer. But
right.
So your phone is still a phone. You're still able to use it. It's just you're limited by how much RAM you have, how many apps you can be running at one time, the kinds of apps you can run. Uh-huh. Like a computer, you know, like... Back in the day where if you wanted to run Photoshop, you had to upgrade the RAM. Or you had to have more disk space
right. For
a swap file. It's the same kind of thing. If you found an app that you want to run on your phone and the phone can't do it because it doesn't have enough RAM, then right. You've got to go get a new phone.
Okay, so you can't just take programs out. That doesn't help you.
Well, it can help you if you're suffering from like a small amount of RAM. You've got like you could load up your phone with applications that continually run in your phone, mm-hmm. and by continually running, it's taking up that RAM, mm-hmm. and so you can remove those types of applications to free up more RAM.
Can you stop getting emojis on Facebook or on Messenger?
Why would that?
Don't think that would.
Because isn't that taking up RAM? Why they said because they're continually open.
Well, you can configure that in Facebook.
Well, and you know what? Just pulling Facebook out of your phone frees up lots of RAM.
Also frees up. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's constantly doing updates.
Megabytes.
You can disable it. When you turn it off,
right.
Disable the app and free up the RAM, mm-hmm. and it'll start again the next time you start the program.
Uh-huh. Or there's on an iDevice, there's a setting that you can say enable only when using the app.
You can enable emojis?
Well, not emojis.
Well, I just think emojis because those emojis seem to be running all the time in Facebook Messenger.
That's Messenger that's running all the time.
You know. But the little emojis are all doing their...
Oh, see, I don't have that.
What's emoji?
People don't send you the emojis.
Those little funny...
All the time I get them.
From the little faces.
You know when you send somebody like a happy birthday mm-hmm. emoji and it's lighting... Isn't that using RAM? RAM?
I don't know. I don't do that. They get... Happy birthday, Jay. Unless Phil
if they're lucky.
To do something.
Is that your plan?
Mahjong.
Well, how much RAM does your phone have?
I've never used one of my life.
In total, is it 2 gigs? Because there are also apps that you can install that would identify how your RAM's being used.
Does she have an iPhone?
No.
How do you tell?
Wouldn't I go down to RAM about? About device?
Yeah. Maybe. The problem with these Android phones is you never know.
Well,
every one of them is
under
different.
Settings, there's device maintenance.
There could be.
Under memory.
And it's got, it checks the device.
Under My About, it shows RAM and internal storage. In fact, what you could do is you could try going into settings and doing a search in settings for RAM.
Well, under device maintenance, it does a check, and then you can optimize it.
Some people may not have device maintenance.
Yeah, they might not. Well, this is a 2-year-old phone, too. So.
What kind of phone do you have?
Samsung Galaxy.
Storage.
Okay.
No memory. There's how much? You're in storage.
Where did you find the
memory? Where did you find that?
Under settings. Under and then yeah. device manager. I don't know. Yours,
Jim,
yours is a different model.
Jim, you're a smart ass.
It's a little late in the season to be telling him that.
He's been here a long time, Linda.
Time.
Not changing anytime soon, I don't think.
And I just did a clean memory. And I got 1.8 gigs back.
What did you just do?
Clean memory. See, I got this screen. And then I push memory.
Device maintenance.
And, okay. Let's see what the storage does. So it says clean.
Are we working or are we just...
Well, I wonder if I can
I'm sorry, I'm distracted by trying to figure out this problem still.
So it cleared
up. Let's talk about our pets.
No, they'll come back.
Well, was there any other topics? Linda, did you get any good information from any of us?
No, he's looking for my memory.
If you go into settings at the and use the search for RAM, the word RAM, it should show you something that will identify the amount of RAM you have.
I have a story about Bitcoin left. 10,000 years ago.
No.
What?
Oh, good.
10,000 years ago.
Is that video I saw?
No. In New England, the Native Americans who lived there were called the Wampanoags, and they were a small part of the Iroquois family of tribes. And they lived in the seashore in the summertime and back in the woods in the wintertime.
Model Android.
And what they used for money was clam shells. Mm-hmm. The quahog shell, not the soft shells of the quahog, because they're harder. And when you traded goods and services, you traded shells. And so I first heard about this decades ago, and I said, I don't understand it, because you can just go out and fish all you want and get all the shells you want.
Right.
But I suppose that would be like a money standard that's not based on gold. It's based on what you were talking about, is the strength of the economy and how that all worked out. So it wasn't that you had to go mine these things necessarily, because only so many would be accepted as currency, I suppose. But that's the way they bought and sold, with quahog shells. And they were a plenty back then. They were a plenty. Yeah. Not so much now, but plenty back then. Yeah. The shinier the better.
Must be where the term clams came in.
I bet you're right. Yeah.
Which actually could have been the start of the term.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since we are talking about Bitcoins, did you guys see the news about YouTube advertisements being hijacked by hackers to mine Bitcoin?
Yes.
All right. So what happened in this actually, I don't think it happened in the United States. I think this was Europe and Taiwan and Japan. They people started observing their antivirus going off as they were streaming YouTube videos. And apparently what had happened is as advertisers on the YouTube or Google platform, they designed advertisements that would load a Bitcoin miner into your web browser while you're watching YouTube videos. So it would be an advertisement as you know it, but instead of being... I mean, maybe you're watching a legitimate advertisement, but in the background, it's running this Bitcoin miner. And so it got identified as malware, and the antivirus was saying, hey, you've got malware on your computer. They reported it to YouTube. YouTube tracked it down and figured out which advertisers were doing this and shut them down. Apparently, after they were able to identify it, it took no more than 2 hours for YouTube to come across these guys doing it and shut them all down. But for a while there, people were mining Bitcoins without knowing it.
You're talking about the difficulty financially and power-wise to mine Bitcoin as they got rarer and rarer. So this is one way they get around that, is just put these miners in everybody's computer that they could to increase their power in order to mine them?
That's right. They're basically creating a cluster of computers to do the mining.
Yeah.
And they're using your... Now, I'm a little frustrated every time one of these stories comes out, because I'm one of those that believes that you're... I'm not interested in advertising. And if there's some creative people out there that would like to ask me, would you rather use your computer to mine for bitcoins or see advertising? I would probably say, go ahead, try and mine bitcoins. And my thinking in this is that advertising also takes up your cycles. It takes up your computer resources. So every time you've opted to go to a website that has advertising, you're basically opting to give up some of your computer power for them to provide advertising to you while you're at their website. If that's the way they've chosen to monetize, you don't really have any options. I mean, you can use ad blockers if you want, but it kind of goes against the spirit of, I mean, they've said, I'm not going to charge you anything for being there, but I want you to accept these advertisements. I think that if we had a very clear standard where you can do advertising or you can do mining, and you're the one that gets to choose, I think that's a very fair way to handle it.
And the third option would be you could pay for the service.
Or you could pay for the service. That's right. A third option would be you could pay for this. I don't think anybody wants to pay. I don't think most people want to pay for service.
YouTube Music
is getting so good, I'm on the verge. What's that?
YouTube Music is getting so good, I'm on the verge of saying, okay.
Yeah, oh, paying for YouTube?
Yeah, I'm on the verge.
YouTube Red?
It's so good.
Yeah. Well, I think that those should be the options. I think if I have a website, I should be able to present to you with, and that's the problem with these kinds of stories, is they keep doing this without asking you. And it's the without asking you that's the problem. It's the gaming YouTube instead of setting up a deal with YouTube to say, hey, I'll ask my users if they want to mine bitcoins or get advertising. I mean, YouTube could be providing a platform where you can choose to mine or advertising, and YouTube takes a percentage of the mining, right? But every time some creative hacker comes up with a way to mine bitcoins without you knowing, it throws a wrench in this whole idea.
So with 10 words or less, what's mining
bitcoins? Mining bitcoins. Well, it's the creation of bitcoins.
Okay.
That's what's going on, is the creation of bitcoins. The mining is doing the math. How many words do I got?
I ran out of fingers.
Would you like to buy a word pack?
Yeah, right.
Okay, I found my memory.
You found your memory. How many?
Can you hear that?
Don't forget where your memory is.
Totally, really. What was that called again?
Lost and found.
And how 20 much? 20 minutes later, I remember what I wanted to say.
And how much is it?
So how much is there?
Okay, I had 2 gigabytes, including 342 megabytes. Reserve. So I have 462 megabytes free.
Okay.
I ended all that could be ended, and then it says that others will come back on. So I ended them all, and then...
And so how much did you end up free in the end?
Not that much. So I have 507 free.
Okay. So what is it that you're wanting to do that doesn't have enough RAM?
No, I'm just asking. It's getting lower. Can you put new RAM into your phone?
No.
No, your phone is done.
No, your phone is done.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why you
buy. You buy a phone the same way you buy a Macintosh now. You get what you pay for.
Right.
And if you need more RAM for a specific application, then you go out looking for a phone that has more RAM.
Oh, or you just go take stuff out.
Well, like your phone's limited by 2 gigs, you just said. My phone has 3 gigs in it. There are phones that are being sold with 4 gigs.
This is a Samsung Vibe.
But there are phones being sold with 4 gigs in them.
Uh-huh.
And so if you found an application, like an augmented reality application might be an example of that. You might find that there's some new Google mixed reality or virtual reality app you want to run that needs 3 gigs of RAM, so you would go out, Google would probably provide you with a list of phones that their new app would be compatible with.
Okay.
And you'd go from that list shopping.
Okay, so putting apps onto an SD card in your phone does not help you with the RAM.
No.
Putting apps on, it helps you with the storage, that's okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, very good. And you can't use the SD card for additional RAM. Like in Windows, you can do some of that kind of stuff, like a swap file.
Right. Well, in Windows, on your laptop, you just go buy more and stick it in. When your RAM gets slow, right? That's what you do.
On a Windows PC that supports upgrading the RAM, you can do that.
Yeah.
I use the Macintosh example because so many of their devices, you can't upgrade the RAM anymore. It's just soldered right on the board.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to have an idea of what your app is. It's like buying a toaster. You need to know what your appliance is going to do before you go out and buy it. If you wanted to do 6 pieces of toast at one time, you better well have bought a 6-piece toaster before. You're not going to stick 6 pieces of toast in a 2-piece toaster. It's not, and you can't add any more to it. I guess you could buy another toaster. This analogy is going off the rails.
Then you need to know if there are long slices or short slices.
You can cut the toast in half after it's been toasted.
But you can buy a 2-piece toaster and a 4-piece. I mean, you can buy a cheaper phone.
This group is going down
the tube. So you
bought
a new laptop?
Who did?
Summer vacations.
Oh, I've had a new laptop since last year at this time.
Right, but you've been using that little black one.
No, I've been using this one since last February. And then you remember this had to be sent in for some battery.
Remember that.
Right.
It's a battery fix. In fact, that's a great difference between Macs and Windows-based.
Oh, that's a Mac?
It's not a Mac.
Oh.
When I bought this, I looked at the Macintoshes.
Did you lose your memory again?
Oh, my.
I looked at the Macintoshes.
I don't know.
Linda, when I bought this, I looked at the Macintoshes, and the same computer in a Macintosh was $1,500 more expensive.
Yeah, and you should have bought a Mac. You wouldn't be having this problem streaming on YouTube.
Well, what I was going to say is if I bought a Mac, I wouldn't have been sending it back for a battery problem a year later. And that's what I ended up doing with this one.
My Mac needed a new hard drive after a year, so...
Well, and I would not talk anybody into a Mac laptop right now because there's so many stories of these brand new Macs getting sent back for display problems and video card problems, and you paid a premium price for that computer. Yeah. I sure wouldn't buy one and bring it down here. There's nowhere to bring it back to.
Right.
If you bought a Mac in this day and age, you do it because there's an Apple store right around the corner.
But you have to have an appointment for 10 a.m. next door.
Well, and I was going to say, and you've got money to burn, and you like shiny, pretty things.
Now, wait a minute here.
It has to satisfy those three criteria to go Apple shopping. That's right.
And can you make an apple crisp with it?
They are beautiful, though.
And it doesn't, it runs quicken, but not a nice version.
Right, yeah.
I had to get Parallels in order.
You have to run your, is it QuickBooks that you're having?
No, Quicken. It just did not have the features that the PC.
The Mac version didn't have the same features as the Windows version.
Parallels, okay.
I still use 2007.
Oh, I upgrade that one every year for some reason.
Yeah, it's a thing. Still at 2007, even though they tell me the new app works better.
Chester, what were you just about to say?
I just said I run Windows on a Mac.
On a Mac, yeah. For years, the Mac used to be the best computer for running Windows.
Should I have an upgraded Big Mac operating system? Should that be done?
Or is it worth it? The reason you would do it is because it's the only way to get the latest drivers for your Windows installation.
You're still using 7?
And so that might be an issue to look into, is look at what version you're running.
Two years old.
You don't get any.
Well, if it's El Capitan,
it
might be falling. It might, because what could happen is Windows could provide an update that isn't compatible with an older version of the boot camp drivers.
I really wish I had.
And that might explain your sound problem.
That's a good, interesting. I'll do that.
Yeah. That first. Well, I mean, it's a dramatic change if it's not necessary. So I think I would do some research on Google before I did any changing. But you're entitled to the latest version of the OS operating system. High Sierra, which is the latest Macintosh operating system, has been error prone. It's had security problems and it's had crashing problems. Their quality has really diminished. So I'm not recommending people upgrade to it at the moment, with the exception of anybody that has an operating system older than El Capitan. You don't have a choice.
El Capitan is good.
El Capitan is the oldest that I would say stay with. We're talking Macs now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it's older than El Capitan, you really don't have a choice if you want to stay compatible. Well, you don't have to buy a new computer, but you have to upgrade to High Sierra. And High Sierra has been very error-prone.
I think I had Lion was the last one before I got rid of the computer.
The High Sierra, they have had stupid problems with High Sierra. Well, let me tell you some of their stupid problems. They when it was released, everybody's upgrading. Some people are using encrypted hard drives. Now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I hope you're not. Encryption on a hard drive makes a lot of sense in a business environment. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense in a consumer environment. I mean, unless you have secrets to hide, there's no reason to get into that. But when you upgrade your operating system, High Sierra asks you for your encryption password. Now, here's the stupid problem. In classic fashion, it's got a hint field. In case you don't remember your password, you can give yourself a hint. Under High Sierra, the hint field gave you the password. Which enlightens us to a lot of stupid problems all at once. Because your password in plain text should never exist in the computer. There should never be a moment inside the operating system where your plain text password can be known. Whenever the operating system looks at your password, it should be looking at what's called a hash. And that is your password encrypted. But for some reason, Apple has done this. At some point in their operating system, they have stored your password in plain text. That's a security no-no right from the beginning. But then, to add to the stupidity, they grabbed that field, which is obviously the wrong field, especially if you don't want your people to know that it's in plain text, and they stuck it in the hint field. And it's like three levels of stupidity all happening at once. Now let me add to the stupidity. They fixed it with an update. And then they had another problem. Then they fixed that other problem and returned the original stupidity to itself. So, announcing to the whole world that they did this, they announced to the whole world they fixed it, only to break it again with their next update. Just layers of stupidity, like a layer cake of stupidity.
And the average person has no idea.
You have no idea. But it's all based around the security you thought you had in place to protect you, which can easily be compromised because the whole world knows about it now.
Yeah. And the Mac is supposed to be better security-wise.
Well, not necessarily. But, I mean, it suffers from the same kind of security problems that other operating systems do. They've enjoyed this obscurity because it's only been 5% of the market. So there hasn't been a big bang for your buck. There's no reason to compromise Macintosh because so few people have them. Then you're less likely to get some payoff from compromising them. Now that changed a while back when Windows got much more secure. And the Mac population wasn't doing anything to secure their Macs. And Mac owners typically have more income. So that kind of tilted in in the other direction. People started targeting Macintoshes, individual Macintoshes, because they could hold an individual Macintosh ransom by encrypting all the files on it and saying, if you pay me, I'll give you the key. Because those Mac owners typically were less sophisticated and had more money. And so they could make, on average, the same amount of money as holding 20 PCs. I mean, I'm making up numbers now, but you could compare 20 Windows machines versus one Macintosh machine would have about the same payoff. So, yeah, they're not any more secure or less secure than any of these other operating systems at any given moment. They suffer from the same kinds of problems. Another example where a Mac has not been more secure, and I've never checked to see if they've fixed this, their virtual memory was not being randomized. Whereas on Windows platform, it's been randomized since, I think, the second iteration of Windows XP. So you could go into the virtual memory. Before that, on Windows, you could go into the virtual memory and you could always go to the same spot and you could pull out the same information. That might be a password. That might be financial information. But it's sitting there in virtual memory. And all they had to do was say, well, we're not going to put it back in the same spot every time. So for years, Macintosh has still done this. They've put that information. And I'm assuming that they've fixed that by now. But it wouldn't surprise me if we found out, no, they're still following that same practice. It's
so
just,
what's the problem with that?
Well, the problem with that is if you know where something's going to be put, then you know where to get it. All right. So if you know that passwords are always stored at X100B4, then you can write a program to go suck that out every time. And all you have to do is randomize that. One of the reasons you wouldn't randomize it is for performance. It's much faster to always put it in the same place. And it brings up that issue of security versus convenience. Security, convenience being translated to performance. And you're always doing this battle of security versus convenience. Because security is not convenient. And just like I started out by saying, I hope you're not using encryption on your hard drives. I would never say that in a group full of business people. And you'd never say that in a group full of intelligence people, because security is the goal, and so you always have to give up convenience for security. There is an insanely inconvenient price you pay from being incredibly secure in the consumer market. When you're at home using Facebook, and it's really frustrating to have a hard drive problem and need to get somebody's help, and it won't take your password any longer, you've lost all the data on that hard drive because you have made sure it was so secure. You've lost all your pictures. You've lost all your family videos. You've lost all your e-books, and because you decided to be extremely secure. Whereas if you give up on that security, there's ways to recoup that information. There are recovery schemes that you can use because you chose not to be as secure. It's always a balancing act. And that's an impromptu topic I didn't know we would talk about. So I've run out of info. anybody watching the Facebook Mark Zuckerberg answering to senators?
A little bit.
Stock price went back up?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Followed it that closely.
Yeah?
But I think his number two lady is having a lot of criticism of hers because she was the one that actually was responsible for all of it.
Yeah?
He made $1 billion while he was testifying.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I heard that too. The stock price went up. Mm-hmm. Enough that his personal fortune, I think they figured it out to $300 million an hour. He made $300 million an hour testifying in front of Congress because his stock price went up that amount while he was there. I was really disappointed in the questions that were being asked. I think they, before I thought that they were going to have some really well thought out softball questions for him, and I was disappointed to find out, no, they were just going to rely on their own knowledge of technology. And those are bad enough questions. They didn't need anyone to prepare bad questions to ask him. I do think that one of the big things that I think should affect us all right now, and we came in this morning talking about it, is these shadow profiles that I think people need to be aware of that we've never spent any time talking about and became very clear under this questioning, is that Facebook and other services like Facebook take every opportunity to create profiles on people regardless of whether they use Facebook or not. And that the profiling doesn't, if you're a Facebook user, the profiling doesn't stop when you log out. And if you're not a Facebook user, the profiling starts the moment you use a service that has put a like button on their webpage. Because you have stumbled across the cookie that is now in your system that is used to create a shadow profile of you. And a shadow profile, I mean, if you guys haven't heard this term, I love this term. It's basically saying it's a marker in the Facebook databases of which can be used to track you without personalizing it to you. It is personalized to you. You just haven't branded it with your name or with your social security number. But every other aspect is there, which means that branding it with your name is just a check in a box, which can easily be deduced. It's only shadow in the idea that you haven't agreed to be a Facebook member. All other aspects of you have been tracked. And this can be accomplished by nothing more than you go to NPR and there's a, do you want to like this on Facebook? You don't even have to like it on Facebook. The fact that they're using those buttons, the Twitter button, the Facebook button, the Reddit button, means that those organizations have stumbled across you in your internet browsing. And now they are able to maintain that kind of information as you go across the internet. Now, you go to a web page that doesn't have that kind of facility, no, they don't see you on that page. But the next time you end up at a web page that has that kind of facility, that's the next check of information in that shadow profile.
But you said it wasn't tied to your name or your social security number, so...
But that's a fallacy. I mean, that's true. It's not. You did not sign up for Facebook. I mean, in this example, you didn't sign up for Facebook. But after you've accumulated enough of that kind of data, it's not hard to determine who you are. And another thing that didn't get talked about enough but is absolutely going on are these pixel trackers, where they're able to put a pixel on a website that is looking at the way you move a mouse, the way that you scroll through a web page, your font settings and your language settings and your region settings, and that will profile your particular computer. And the moment that goes across one of these Facebook cookies, all that profiling moves over to that shadow profile, and now they can profile the hardware that you're using, so it's getting associated with that information.
You know, I just got thrown my computer away. Forget it.
Oh, good. I can use mine more now.
Taking this to a scary level, let's go back to...
I like how Mike thinks I'm not scary enough.
Watching material that's copyrighted in the United States, but not outside the United States.
Not particularly.
So if I'm taking stuff from HBO through Comcast, and Comcast has the ability to go through to get my profile from a Facebook-like entity, then they know, wait a minute, you're not in Dallas, you're not in Los Angeles, You truly are in San Carlos because that's where you live 6 months a year. And they can get you from there, right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, in fact, to go a step farther, you can imagine that Telmex and Megacable have their own profiles on every one of us right now. Because they are, our traffic all goes through them. We ask them for things like website addresses. In fact, I remember GCI, the cable company in Alaska. I believe they still have the service where you could sign into your GCI account and it would show you all the history that has been, that you have gone across, tracked in their system. So you could look back at every place you'd been on the internet, but more so you could look at every place that's been on the internet through that internet connection. So you're looking at your kids' history, your parents' history. We have a bed and breakfast. You could be looking at a bed and breakfast guest's history, all stored by the internet provider. So I mean, that's all interesting stuff to keep in mind as we go forward with this technology. Yes?
The one thing that always comes to my mind is with all of these people where everybody's concerned about privacy and hacking and all this, has anybody here personally lost any money that was hacked?
No. Well, I haven't, but I've had at least three customers in the last 15 years that have lost money from hacking. And I just recently had a customer that was getting socially engineered on the phone, and she got wise halfway through. Now, she had given them access to her computer. We had to go through and change all her passwords, and they did something that I had never seen before. They set up her Gmail account to forward any emails from her Gmail account to a Gmail account that they controlled. So the very first thing that we had to do was kill that forwarding so they weren't aware of any of our password changes.
Like scams. But let's say you had all my information and you're sitting somewhere in China, say. Can you get any money out of me?
You haven't heard from the Liberians? You know, the prince who needs to...
Look, there are scams before the internet, after the internet. We all get the phone calls here in San Carlos.
I would say the scams are part of the hacking. I mean, I would say that if you got a phone call and they had enough information on you, they could convince you you're whoever they need to convince you they are. But the scam is...
China, let's say, gets access to my information. What can he do with it?
Can he drain your account?
I don't think I did have...
It's been about 5 years ago. I have an account that I don't reconcile hardly ever because I don't have much activity. It happens to have an overdraft thing, and there was around $300 or $400 in like five different transactions that were taken out of the account, and I didn't discover it in that 6 month time frame where the bank could reverse them. So fortunately, it wasn't that much.
The bank
did not because it was after the 6 months. And fortunately, it wasn't thousands of dollars. But it was interesting because there was a $20 deal, for example, and a $300 deal, and many different, about five or six, if I remember right, different things. And somehow they got access to be able to get that money out of a personal checking account. So I don't know if that was, I don't know how they found that, but it had to be through internet of some sort.
Jim, you had something to add.
I got about 14 years ago, I guess, maybe longer, got it. And I happened to, I was talking to a friend in Oregon at the time, and I logged into my PayPal account. And I was looking at the account, and the numbers went...
Wow.
And so I called up. I got everything back, but the guy had... I had bought something where they wound up getting a credit card out of it through PayPal, which gave him access to PayPal. And my email had the same password at that time. So they got into my email and ran up charges all over the place.
Wow.
But they made him, we got the guy, and I got all my money back. But the guy made a mistake. He sent an email to himself from my account so that he would have it. And when I was talking to the people on the phone about the security and all this, that's all we need. But I got all the money back, so it wasn't gone for long. Five hours, I guess. Wow.
Go ahead.
I did not lose financially, but this was a high school thing, and it was 10 years ago at least. He switched my email addresses. So if I sent a letter, say, to my daughter, it went to two or three people that had no idea who I was or where it was going. And I was getting notes from people all over the place. You know, I haven't talked to you in years. How are you?
It was just
nuts. He switched all it somehow or another. It was like throwing all of my connections into a barrel and just pulling out a name, and that's who the email would go to.
Okay. Well, you know what you're reminding me of is a scam that people have done in the past is to grab your phone when you're not looking and change the contact, like put in a phone number and add somebody you know to as the name. And so you start getting text messages from somebody you know, and you're corresponding, but you're actually corresponding with a scammer,
yeah.
Right? And if you're not paying attention to the phone number, you're not aware of it. Yeah. I think the question's hard to answer because there's so many different ways to be taken advantage of, and it's because of having the information.
Well, I personally don't think that people are going to lose money. The average person, not business person, is going to lose money. If you're buying from PayPal and this and that, they'll refund you. Banks, the same thing. And unless you personally fall into a scam and become participant in it, I think we're safe.
Yeah, but I think that in that same tone, the falling into a scam is easier and easier the more of your information that's out there that people have access to, specifically people that are being devious and doing unscrupulous things. The more of that information that's out there, the more likely you'll end up targeted for a scam. Yeah, I think it all fits together, the same thing. You know, for as long as... I mean, I always have trouble saying hacking. Hacking, for me, I grew up in the generation where what hacking meant was to learn as much as possible about a piece of technology, to change it, to manipulate it, to use it the way you want. But it wasn't necessarily a security thing. And we always referred to security things as cracking. And those lines have gotten really meshed over the years. But the security thing, there has always been an element of social engineering. Social engineering has been a term ever since hacking was a term, ever since cracking was a term. We had social engineering, and they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. You can't convince somebody to give you the password. You can't get a password unless you can convince somebody to give it to you. And they're always intertwined. So I don't think one precedes the other. I think they've gone together. We're running out of time. I've had a very unsuccessful session here trying to record.
And people.
Yeah.
You're
welcome, Chester. I hope that works for you.
See you guys in the fall.
Is this your last one, Mike? All right.
Adios, Mike.
Okay. Enjoy your summer.
Fun.
Well, I'll just re-mention now. I'm going to Alaska a month later, and so I will continue to do these meetings up until the last part of May.
And I'll be here.
Great. Excellent.
I'll be here.
Excellent. So I'll even if we get down to a four-person cup of coffee, I'm happy to be here with you. I think my next step is to try and figure out what's going on with their Wi-Fi connections. So, this has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. We meet here every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15, and normally we're much more successful than we have been today. And that beep means I'm connecting and disconnecting.
I have to send this to you. This is unbelievable.
But you're saying, if I have a